Welcome you all on this first Sunday that we have adjusted our worship service to the CDC guidelines. We are now the guidelines saying that if you're vaccinated, you can not need to wear masks or social distance indoors or outdoors, and so we're going by that guideline. There are some we know that are still who still need to wear masks for various reasons, and we respect that, and certainly understand that this world is an odd world to be in. But we're glad you're here. We adjusted our worship during the pandemic to a first a video and then a hybrid worship system. We are still adjusting over the next weeks. We will slowly add pieces to the service that we have not had. And that's a way to, for us to, we who lead worship, to reaccommodate to things that are going on today. The piece we're adding in addition to not wearing the masks in service, of course, is singing of the hymns. And the hymns are printed in the bulletin, which is sent out to those who, of course, were planning to watch the service at home. But you're also to welcome to look at them in the in the hymnal that's there, the hymns that are listed there, and join us in, and we will sing for those. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for a lot of things this morning, and we're thankful that all of you are here. Just a few announcements before we get started. Today we are holding a special all-church picnic out on the church lawn. This will start approximately 11:30. Yeah, we'll be still 11:30. Everyone is asked to, here, I see that fell off. So technical difficulties of all sorts here. Everyone is bringing their own food. That's, again, that adjustment. We planned this picnic a while ago when that was the norm. I don't know what the new norm is on food yet, but some of you may have brought food. Some of you may not have. You're welcome to run home and come back, or maybe even just go to one of the restaurants in Uptown and get something, a takeout, and bring it back and enjoy the company and fellowship of each other on the church lawn. You'll also see the parking lot is now in use. It's not complete yet, but the city has said we can park on it. And some of us have, and you're welcome to do that. When they do come in to finish it, we don't know the exact schedule of that. If you're here during that time, of course, be careful around all the equipment. The flowers this morning are given by Lori Lample in memory of Alice Cameron, and we thank her for that. We have a special thing. If you're looking over that way, that little box is a house. It has a roof on it with a slot in it, and that is, you might guess, from our Westerville Habitat Partnership friends. They're going to have another wall build, and the house itself is accept donations, and that'll be out in our gathering area after the service. So they need donations. They are not having the tapestry of the town this year, and so they are looking for donations to make up for that revenue loss. And then they will have the wall build on Saturday, August 21st at the Point, and they're looking for volunteers to help pound nails and build walls that will later be a Habitat house up in Delaware, right? John, where is John? So, is that going to be up in Delaware like our other house? Yes. We're happy to support Habitat and glad Habitat is still doing its great ministry. I will note that I will be on vacation for the next two Sundays. Reverend Heather Hicks will be our worship leader and preacher next Sunday. And then on July 4th, we'll have the Reverend Alvin Lee preaching. And I want to thank both of them for their help while I'm gone. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude, which is God Whose Giving Knows No Ending. Thank you.
Please join me as we call ourselves as one in worship this morning. We live in a world filled with wonder, the leafing trees and budding flowers, the restless wind and the flight of birds, the rising of the sun and the phases of the moon, the miracles of our bodies and their motions, the gifts of our minds. These alone should call us back to the central mystery of our existence. They should return us to God. Then let us worship the God who welcomes us. And now please join me in the prayer of confession as printed in the bulletin. O God, you are the gardener of our lives. You are the one who has tilled the soil of our existence. You are the one who has the seeds of your word with us. You are the one who has watered us in the Holy Spirit. We confess, O Lord, that we have not welcomed the gentle prodding of your love, that we have not let your Spirit refresh and renew us, that we have not borne the fruit of your nurture. Forgive us and tend us again, that we might grow in faith and discipleship to your holy name. Amen. Hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I know it says Heather's going to do the children's message, but since it's Father's Day, I asked if I could do it today. But actually, I don't want to speak to the fact that I'm a father, but wanted to speak about my father, and in particular, what my father gave to me. And I'm sure that your fathers, many of you, had gave you certain gifts at times. My father gave me two gifts, gave me many gifts, but two I wanted to share with you today. One is a compass, and this is an old-style compass. If you're more of a hiker these days, you have more modern-looking compasses. But this is an old sort of compass that he got when he was in the military, and he gave this to me and said, so you can find your directions when you're in the woods, or when you get lost, you will have a way to find your way. And I thought that was a neat message. The thing is, I often didn't bring my compass and I got lost anyway. But it was a gift for him to remind me about finding my way in the woods. And then he gave me another gift, and that was a Bible, and said, this is how to find your way in life. And as you can see, I did use this Bible. It's quite worn. I think that's something that special that my father gave to me, was that message that the Bible can show us the way through life. And I don't know what messages your fathers gave to you, but I'm going to suggest that maybe the message from my father might apply to all of you as well, is that finding your way through life, having a Bible is a good way to do that. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for the fathers in our lives. We thank you for the gifts that they have given to us, and in particular, the gift that you have given to us, Heavenly Father, of the Holy Scriptures, and what they can teach us about how to live our lives and how to find our way. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I started the sermon, I did want to mention that Marion Ackerman made our little donation house over there, so thank you to Marion. It's nice to have someone willing and able to create something that we can use. Let us pray. Lord God, as we consider your holy scripture this morning, may your spirit work within me and within and among all of us, that we may come to understand these words and apply them to our lives. Amen. I am sure that I am not alone in saying that the Psalms are my favorite part of the Bible. Maybe it is for you as well. And there are so many great Psalms, aren't there? In fact, it's hard to know where to start. Of course, there is the 23rd Psalm, and it's very familiar for beginning, the Lord is my shepherd. There's the Psalm 100 with another familiar beginning, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And there are other great Psalms like Psalm 8 or Psalm 51 or Psalm 150. But this morning, I'd like to make a case for Psalm 130. Martin Luther was so impressed with Psalm 130 that he called it a proper master and doctor of Scripture. And Psalm 130 was a psalm that John Wesley heard sung the afternoon before his conversion experience. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us that this psalm has influenced such great people like Wesley and Luther, for it is indeed a powerful prayer, one that can reach up and grab us even across the ages. It is said that we should read and ponder Scripture, in particular this psalm, and make it our own as well. Now, the problem for me as a preacher is that how do I preach a psalm? As a prayer, it is wonderful, but try as I might, it seems to lose something in the preaching. In my first draft of this sermon, I analyzed the psalm. I looked at its form, its context, its function in the community way back then. And when I was through, I realized I had lost the prayerful nature of this psalm. And that loss seemed just too great. And no, I don't think that the problem is, with preaching the Psalms is that they don't do well when analyzed. But I think the problem is that they were never meant to be more than a prayer. They were meant to be something that we shared with ourselves and with each other in a meditative sort of way. And so with your indulgence as well, I would like to handle this psalm and this sermon a little differently than I usually do this morning. I don't really want to help you analyze this psalm. I want to help you pray it. And therefore, I invite you to relax, to get comfortable, to even close your eyes if that will help you. And I would like each of us to pray this psalm. And how we'll do that is that I will read a line and then let you reflect upon the words for a little bit. And while you're doing that, I invite you to let your mind wrap around these words. See what images, experiences might come into your mind while you're pondering these words. Maybe there's a particular word that strikes you in a particular line that means something to you this morning. And see where that leads you in your mind. And then after you have some time for your own thoughts, I will offer some thoughts that came to my mind as I prepared this sermon. My thoughts needn't be your thoughts. Only let them filter through your own. Maybe something will be triggered by my words that will bring the psalmist's words into greater focus and understanding. For many of you, this will be a challenging experience, maybe even a new one. Those of you who are left brain, or is it right brained? I never get that straight. Whichever it is, those of you who are analytical and expect a sermon to explain things, you might be challenged by this sort of sermon. However, I invite you, for this morning at least, to try to use the other side of your brain, whichever that is, let that part of you emerge. Let your creative side interact with the author of all creation as you listen and ponder the words of this prayer. For others of you, these moments of silence will be a challenge. And our culture is one of sound. We have to listen to something. We have the television on while we do our household chores. We listen to music while we read. We ride in our cars with the radio going. We jog with our earbuds on. For those of you who can't deal with the silence, this moment of silence will be a challenge. But I invite you to stick with the silence for this short while. And maybe in the silence of this morning, you will hear something that you've never heard before. Maybe you'll hear the still small voice of God. So I invite you to sit back, relax, as I read each of the lines of this psalm. And the psalm begins with these words: "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." Have you ever gotten yourself into a hole? Are you backed into a corner of life? Are you stuck somewhere and can't get out? What sort of hole is it? Is it a financial hole? Is it a relationship hole? Is it a promise you made that you can't keep? Is it a hole of grief over a loss? Are you in the same position as the psalmist, calling out to God from the bottom of that hole? Holes are traps. Do you feel trapped? Holes are dark. Do you feel like you are living in darkness? Do you sometimes feel like crying out to the Lord? The psalmist continues, "Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." Do you ever feel abandoned by God? Have you ever felt that God doesn't hear your prayers? Or maybe God hears them but doesn't care? Sometimes it takes all that we have to keep crying out to God. May the psalmist encourage you. God is there to listen, to hear our cries, to respond to our pains. And the psalmist continues in verse 3, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?" Now we understand. The psalmist is crying out from the depths of his own sin. And we wonder, what has he done that is so awful that he feels such depths of despair? Can you relate? Have you some desperate sin that is gnawing away at you? Have you mistreated a loved one, reneged on a promise, lied to protect yourself? What sin is dragging you down? Do you turn your head away from others and from God? The psalm continues with verse 4. "But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered." We know that the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet the psalmist reminds us that the Lord does not punish us, the Lord forgives us. Do you sense the presence of a forgiving God in your life? Does a forgiving God give you the courage to seek forgiveness? What sin needs to be forgiven in your life, and what is it that you have been afraid to confess before God? Bring it to God now. Bring it to the God who is forgiveness. Experience the forgiveness of God through the words of this psalm. The psalm moves on to verse 5, which says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope." I wonder if we are all waiting for something. Are we waiting for our ship to come in? Are we waiting for times to get better, for COVID to be over, for our children to return home? I think we understand waiting, so we can understand the psalmist waiting for God. But for the psalmist, waiting is not hopelessness. It is not a pipe dream. It is not filled with anxiety or fear. No, for the psalmist, to wait on the Lord is to wait expectantly. It is like waiting for dessert to be served. You know it will be delicious when it finally arrives. Waiting on the Lord is waiting for that good gift that will come. How good are we at waiting? And then the psalmist moves to verse 6 that says, "My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning." More than those who watch for the morning. So eager is the psalmist. Are you that eager? Do you wake each morning and ask yourself, "How will God touch my soul today? What would it be like to have such eagerness?" to have such readiness to seek God out. Think about how that might affect your day, your life. Verse 7 continues, O Israel, hope for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, with him is great power to redeem. Now the psalmist is moving from his personal prayer into a community prayer, to an announcement for the community. What the psalmist has experienced, he wants to share with others. He seems almost compelled to share his experience with the whole nation. So how would you describe your experience of God? And who would you share that experience with? Is there someone you know who's in their own holes of despair? Is there someone you know who is burdened by sin? Is there someone you know who could use a good word from God? And how might you make that happen? And then the psalm concludes with these words. It is God who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. In the end, this is a psalm about trust. The psalmist discovers that he can trust God to redeem him and the nation. Have you had an experience of God's steadfast love? Do you have that sort of trust in God? Do you sense God's redemption in your own life? Let me read the psalm straight through one more time. And this time, let it be your prayer for today. Let us pray. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark my iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you might be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him great power to redeem. It is God who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Amen.
Though it doesn't say so in the order of worship, when we say our affirmation of faith from the brief statement of faith of the Presbyterian Church, USA, let us all stand and read what is in our bulletin together. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. But we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator, ignoring God's commandments. We violate the image of God in others and ourselves, accept lies as truth, exploit neighbor and nature, and threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. We deserve God's condemnation, yet God acts with justice and mercy to redeem creation. In everlasting love, the God of Abraham and Sarah chose a covenant people to bless all families of the earth. Hearing their cry, God delivered the children of Israel from the house of bondage. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still.
Please be seated. Our personal prayers, and then I'll lead us in our common prayers. Let us pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Warm and loving God, you father us all and embrace all of us as your great family of heaven and earth. We are proud to belong and to find in it this dignity that no one can take away. You have called us sons and daughters and adopted us as your children. You have planted us in families. You have sheltered us under parents or guardians. You have nurtured us in family love. Like a good gardener, you have cared for our growth. This morning, on Father's Day, we give thanks for the love and meaning we find in our families. We thank you for fathers who are mothers and fathers to us, and mothers who are fathers and mothers to us. We thank you for guardians who step in when there is no father or mother. We pray for those who are lonely because the family circle has been broken. We cannot place a value on the care given to us by our parents. And we realize that not all children have that care. And so we pray for children everywhere, and may they find a place in your family. Oh Lord God, be with us on these summer-like days, days that surround us with long hours of sunlight and warmth. During these summer months, we have time to travel. Grant us safety on the highways and in the air. And when we have time to sit and be leisurely, bless that, O Lord, so that we can have a sense of resting in your presence. On this special Sunday, Lord, we give thanks for the scientists and medical people that have brought forth these vaccines, for those who have delivered it, and for ushering in a recovery from the COVID pandemic, giving us the opportunity to reopen our church fully. We pray for those who are not vaccinated, for those who cannot be vaccinated. We pray that we will be sensitive to their needs and they too may find health. We pray for those in the medical field, for all the blessings they have given us this past year and the blessings they'll continue to give us. We pray for those in our own church who are ill or injured or recovering from surgery. May you hasten along the healing process. We pray for those in our church and community as well who are grieving loss, O Lord, and may you comfort them in their sorrow. We ask that you help your children everywhere to grow up and to grow together. As we follow the example of Jesus, may we become wiser, not only wiser, but also more loving. That through our life and your family, may we learn unselfishness and be ready to make sacrifices for your sake. We pray all this as we join together with that heavenly prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, God's blessings are yours this day. May you enjoy them. May you enjoy them this week and for all your days to come. And may the blessings of God belong to this community and to our world. Amen.